Greetings, and welcome to Series 2, Part 1 of the Nourish Practice, called Healing from Heartbreak. Heartbreak refers to the difficult emotions we experience after loss or disappointment of any kind, both past and present. This recording is an educational guide for how to embody these challenging feeling states and comprehensively transform their pain into beauty, wisdom, and more love for our own thriving and that of our world. To embody ourselves in the context of healing from heartbreak means to work with and through our difficult emotions by feeling our authentic feelings in our body, being consciously aware of this experience, and relying on our body as a locus for intuitive guidance. Your willingness to explore this practice is an act of self-love and shows that you care enough to want to heal. This is not just a hat tip to your courage and care, but a testament to your desire to become a person of integrity, which is what this work bestows. This second series contains many parts. The first several provide a robust introduction and contextual material before we get to the nuts and bolts of how to engage the practice itself. All parts are crucial to the whole, so please bear with me while I introduce these interrelated pieces. In this first part, I'll introduce topics that I will then cover in progressively greater depth throughout the entire recording. My hope is that proceeding one level at a time will help you assimilate the material more easily. I'll also repeat some concepts to integrate them into novel contexts. This process happens to mimic the integrative nature of the emotional work itself. I'll also include some poems and passages by others to help illustrate certain points. If you hear any terms that are at first unclear to you, please have patience as they will be explained or contexted further along. If you can't relate to some of the material or grasp the ideas presented, don't worry. It might become apparent later or just not be true or helpful for you. Throughout this recording, I'll alternately refer to the process of healing from heartbreak by different terms, such as core healing work, emotional depth work, the alchemy of the heart, death and rebirth work, or variations of these. Most often, I'll just call it the work. All refer to the same process or aspects of it. Again, before I get into the mechanics of this practice, which I discuss at the end of this series, I want to give a comprehensive and I think crucial context for the process of emotional healing, especially vis-a-vis spirituality and spiritual practice. I open this discussion then with a quote from my favorite poet, the late Rainer Maria Rilke. In his collected letters to a young poet, Rilke expressed the disposition we need not only to endure, but to receive the greatest boons from heartbreak. He said, "If we could only align our lives in accordance with the principle that we must always trust in what is difficult, then what now appears the most daunting to us will later become our most intimate and trusted ally. Perhaps all the dragons in our lives are princesses who are waiting to see us act, if only once, with beauty and courage. Perhaps everything that frightens us is, in its most honest moment, something helpless that needs our love." Rilke's imagery of transforming dragons into princesses is reminiscent of Beauty and the Beast, the goodness that comes from facing what at first seems ugly. In the fairy tale, Beast is transformed into a handsome prince after finding true love with Beauty, his eventual bride. This life-affirming metaphorical union of yin and yang applies to our emotional work as well, wherein we love our hurts to turn them into beauty. This work, therefore, is not to perpetuate our dragons, our darkness, and our fears. Rather, is to birth princesses and princesses from us, to heal our wounds once and for all, rather than let them continue to linger, fester, sabotage, and make life ugly. Some of our wellness happens positively, which means we directly acquire it. This is a yang, largely outward endeavor. Yet much of our joy and wellness also happen negatively, by which I mean we clean up what is wounded inside us by being with it, so that what is innately beautiful can naturally emanate from us. This is a yin, largely inward experience. Both yin and yang means for fulfillment are necessary for inner and outer sustainability. Throughout this recording, I don't discuss much the yang means to happiness, of how to positively embody joy, or to experience the love we already have in hand, because that's much easier, too obvious, and the many happiness gurus cover the topic well. What's less obvious and less often explored, but sorely needed, is the yin means to fulfillment, how to clean up our hearts to allow a nameless, thingless, and choiceless joy to blossom from our chests, which is crucial for personal and global wellness in more ways than you might imagine. In other words, happiness seeking must be balanced by happiness making. Without this yin aspect of uncovering happiness, a unilateral positive pursuit of wellness easily becomes ego-driven, addiction-oriented, excessively consumptive, and human-centric. Ignoring the yin, sacred feminine domain of our lives for the yang has led to so much of our own suffering and the tearing down of our beautiful planet. I discuss all this further along in the context of what I call inner sustainability. The heart of emotional transformation work is twofold. The first aspect of the practice is to deal with current, ongoing emotional pain and challenges. This involves being with and sitting with current emotions in order to move through them as they pertain to current events. Even more importantly, we want to discover how our current experience pertains to our past, to our core love wounds, or core emotional wounds, as I call them, especially those from childhood. This is the second fold, the deeper foundational heart of the work. Our core love wounds are those that set the pattern for many of our less than optimal current behaviors, choices, and heartaches. They are the embodied specific ways we didn't get the love we needed, especially from our formative intimate relationship with our parents and primary caregivers. Again, healing our original love wounds, along with the limiting beliefs we learned as a result of these deficiencies, are the core aspects of this work, which I discuss more in depth in Part 2. The process I outline represents my own healing journey, one that has been informed by many sources over the years. I undertook this work when I was 26 to 29 years old, some 20 years ago, and then for stints thereafter, save for the specific methods introduced in the Nourish Practice proper, which I consider a valuable new addition. This is also how I continue to process my emotional life and keep my heart clean. Please note, you don't have to go through this process in its entirety as outlined here to derive benefit. Any portion of the work you engage can be helpful. While I might speak as an authority and instructionally, this is for the sake of communication, so that I'm not constantly qualifying everything I say. So from the get-go, please understand all this material is suggestive for you to stylize to your own needs. I merely share what has worked for me and others I know. This healing path is for those who want a better, richer, happier, more fulfilling life. It's for those who want to fill the underlying vacancies of addictive behavior and to stop numbing the pain that addiction constantly tries to quell. It's for those who want to learn how to face emotional challenges and remain connected to the everyday world and the ones we love and become more intimate with them. It's for those who want to open their hearts again to alleviate chronic pain, to feel deeply at home in their own body, who want a more grounded and integrated spiritual path. It's for those who want to augment their creativity, who want more authenticity and connection in their relationships, and who want to be able to give and receive love more abundantly. It's for those who have found limitations with New Age beliefs and contemplative spiritual paths, who want more passion, purpose, and meaning in their lives, and who want to develop their capacity for genuine compassion and empathy. It's for you who feel that no matter what you do, no matter how spiritual you are or try to be, that the underbelly of your humanness has been left out of the equation of a life fully lived. It's for you who want to discover more of who you truly are and what really matters to you, especially your talents and gifts, your unique character, robust humanity, and deeper callings. The German philosopher Arthur Schopenhauer said that almost all our sorrows spring out of our relations with other people. This is because our core sense of meaning and bearing in the world is shaped by the love or its absence we receive from others, especially during childhood. Emotional healing helps heal the void from these sorrows. Because we all have grown up with imperfect families, friends, and partners who, despite their best intentions, couldn't provide what we needed physically or emotionally, this work is potentially for everyone. With them and with ourselves, we need to make peace and find true healing and forgiveness. Whether or not we can affect this healing with them in real life, ultimately we can find healing in ourselves, even if we no longer speak with them or they are no longer alive. Each of our difficult and painful relationships lives inside us, and we can go within to heal them. Sometimes a dream or synchronicity reminds us of the pain we still carry, a proverbial dragon that needs our attention and compassion to reveal itself more fully, so it can transform us into beauty. Dialoguing or journaling with our inner mother, father, ex-partner, or the pain itself can help us express, release, and gain insight into what remains unresolved.